to be able to have that kind of connectivity while watching a snow-capped mountain in August and a moose walk by and yeah. doing my work.
Oh,
you
man.
Just can't beat it.
That's the life, isn't it? That's what everybody's dreaming about,
yes,
right there.
Yeah. How to get Starlink, you know, get it now and not be a part of the humongous list of back orders,
like,
that is going to take them years to fill.
Okay.
Don't put in your deposit. Here's the status of the RV or ruggedized antenna. The reality is we're still in beta. And even support will tell you, if you have a support ticket, they'll say things like, well, bear with us, we're still in beta. One new huge development is Starlink has rolled out a new service plan and a new dish called Starlink Premium. There
cats.
Were five cats huddled on top of his Starlink.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was warm. And he said, Cat 5, I guess, works with Starlink.
Well, guess what, guys? I'm happy to have Joshua and Elizabeth here on the channel today again, and one of our channel favorites, and we have some updates on Starlink that are really important for RVers. It's 2022,
yeah.
And Starlink has had a lot of changes and things like that.
They have, and you know, the I guess part of the biggest issue is some of the changes just aren't coming fast enough. You know, we've had chip shortages, and we've had production slowage, and we've had issues with launches not happening when they're supposed to due to there was a random cruise ship out on the water that caused a launch not to happen
They
weren't where they're supposed to be. So little things like that keep adding up to not quite the progress we were hoping for in some areas, but more progress in other areas.
Okay, so how has, in the last 6 months since we've talked to you last, how has Starlink done for you personally?
So for us personally, we've had some good chances to be connected and a lot of drought, you know, because they haven't launched as many satellites as they had planned in 2021, and definitely are still not launching at the same speed they want in 22. We did not see the nationwide opening that we were kind of promised in October, November of last year.
Okay.
And I say promised, it was a tweet by Elon, but we take all those tweets as gospel, right? You know, we hope for the best, but we know that that's not always going to be the case. And so when that kind of came and passed and we had October, November, December without them rolling out, that definitely put us in a bind because we had hoped to have more widespread connectivity. Now, does that mean that there's no increase in coverage? That's also not true. There has been increasing coverage. In fact, Tucson, Arizona just opened up in December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's coverage right now where we are out here in the desert boondocking spot. We have coverage here. We have coverage in town. We have coverage in Catalina. But when a new spot opens up, what we've noticed is there's so many pre-sales in that area that a spot will open up to be at capacity or full capacity, meaning someone can't just drive in and change their address to there because as far as the computer system is concerned, there are already too many people in that area using Starlink, even though they may not have their dishes yet or are actually using it. It's just the number of limited users in that area has been reached. Now, what we've seen is that has seemed to open up a little bit more because now we've been connecting here in Tucson. And the speeds are still doing well. There has been some reports from speedtest.net, which is one of the big speed test websites that people use. They've been tracking Starlink data speed tests. And they say that there's kind of a flattening of the curve. Like the speeds used to just be consistently going up, and now they're kind of flattening out. And in some areas, due to density of number of users, seeing it go down just a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean quite too much to us because we don't go to population dense areas that often.
Right.
We stay out and about and in the more rural spaces. And so we have not experienced dips in speed. We're still maintaining 200-300 down, anywhere from say 10 to 50 up, which is more than enough.
Oh yeah.
And leagues beyond any of our cellular chips.
Right. No, that's great. I've seen some of those articles too, and I guess that's important to know. It depends on what kind of camping you're doing in
yeah.
your RV. Are you staying in RV parks, which might be in those densely populated areas might have some slowage, or are you out here BLM land boondocking away from a lot of people? So that's a good point.
In August, we were outside of Crested Butte, Colorado. Absolutely gorgeous area. We saw so many moose and deer and just coming almost right up to the rig. It was gorgeous. But that place, there was no cell signal. Like any of the other boondockers there, it didn't matter if you had Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, like nobody had any signal at all. But we had Starlink. We had, you know, what, 200 down.
We were swimming.
We were doing great. giving other people, you need some internet here, and you'll log in. Here's our Starlink login.
So and look so, for Joshua and Elizabeth when you're out there for free internet.
to be able to have that kind of connectivity while watching a snow-capped mountain in August and a moose walk by and doing my work.
Oh,
you
man.
Just can't beat it.
That's the life, isn't it? That's what everybody's dreaming about,
yes,
right there.
Yeah.
Totally. And apologize for a couple of the noises. It's really whipping up the wind here in the desert this morning.
Yeah, I should have brought our awning in. I'm committing a RV full-timing infraction right now.
right.
We do have some awning, some arms there to hold and stabilize it, but with this wind, we'll see.
as far as what's coming up for Starlink, we have been seeing and reading a lot about their launch schedule for this year. And they have a ton of launches planned for the Falcon 9 rockets. Now, those rockets are only able to hold a small number of satellites. So even if every single one of those launches happens as planned this year, they're going to be about 4,000 and nowhere near 40,000 that they're planned on.
Oh, okay.
So what we're really waiting to see is if by late this year, Starship is actually starting to take off with payloads of satellites, because the Starship will hold more than 200 satellites per launch.
Wow.
If that happens, we will see scale happen at a rapid pace. But that's not yet ready. It's not yet happening. And they're hoping for late this year, which means it could even be early to mid next year before we start to see that. So still expect slow growth of open spots. Even once these satellites get into orbit, it's going to take them months to reach their optimum position.
Okay.
And so it's like, none of it's a quick, easy fix, but we just have to remember, even though the word beta has left the website, that is still the reality. The reality is we're still in beta. And even support will tell you, if you have a support ticket, they'll say things like, well, bear with us, we're still in beta. And so I think what had occurred was, because Elon made that tweet that we're ending beta in October, they just used the backspace button on their website and removed it from their marketing materials, while reality is it's still very much in growth and it's still very much being tested and things are being tweaked. There are outages. People ask this all the time. What are the outages like? We have only experienced two major outages that lasted for multiple hours.
Okay.
Most of the time, it is so quick and minuscule that you don't even recognize that it's happened. Now, maybe if you...
I'm on Zoom calls, 40, 45 Zoom calls a week, like all the time. And the outages, for the most part, are so small, I don't even get like a freeze on my video. You don't notice it. So the app will show him, there was a point blah second outage at this time. I'm like, I couldn't even tell. So I feel like it's less disruptive than your traditional internet where you get those video freezes all the time.
Satellite. Yeah, sure. like Viasat, all these guys, HughesNet. We were in Florida at a very kind of remote hip camp spot with some folks, and we were told they had cell signal, and we got there and there was none. So we were told, don't worry, we have Wi-Fi at the house. We're like, great. So we get there and it's HughesNet. And
okay.
We used her cap in a day, her data cap. So she called them and asked for more, and we used that in another day and a half. But the issue isn't necessarily that, it's the latency. Elizabeth's trying to have a video call, and she says, hi, another person says, hi, so, I'm sorry, you go ahead. Okay, no, wait,
And when you're teaching music lessons, you do not want a delay.
Right.
So,
for those of you that haven't seen Joshua and Elizabeth on a previous video, we have a full tour, and they talk about, you guys have online businesses, online teaching classes. They actually need this kind of internet, where some of you may not need that. And also check out our original Starlink video that we'll put a link down below for that.
Because that hack that we share in that video is still working.
I was going to ask you that. Yes.
It's still working. So if you guys are interested in a hack on how to get Starlink, you know, get it now and not be a part of the humongous list of back orders,
like,
that is going to take them years to fill.
Okay.
Don't put in your deposit. Go watch that video, figure out the hack, and buy your Starlink that way.
Right. Yeah. Joshua has a great hack for that. He fully explained it in that video. And yeah, check it out. I know some people commented that they don't really understand, but it really is laid out in detail in that video.
And I just told a guy that system a couple of days ago, and his is being shipped out. I mean, and so okay. it's still working quite well. One new huge development is Starlink has rolled out a new service plan and a new dish called Starlink Premium. And what this is geared toward is super users, which I think we qualify. It's geared toward businesses. And you can have unlimited locations. Now, let me clarify what that means, because those of you out there who have a Starlink and you keep moving the location of it like we do, that's not what this means. What this means is you can add as many dishes in different locations as you want to a singular account. Up to date, currently, you've only ever been able to log one dish per one email account. So they're saying, hey, you've got a business, you're in multiple countries, or you're in multiple states, or you're in multiple areas, and you want to have a Starlink in each one of those rural areas, then you can open an account and add all of those dishes to that one account for management and billing. Now, you still can't do it cross countries. You would have to have one account for each country, because the way Starlink is rolling out their equipment and their licensing, each country is its own Starlink company. So that company is licensing that equipment. So I can't take this dish to Mexico. I can't take this dish to Canada. It would not function currently. Maybe they'll figure that out in the future and they'll get that wrapped up, because they realize people travel a lot. But at this moment, your dish is geo-locked to your country of purchase.
Okay, and you mentioned they also get priority service.
Yeah, so the new Starlink Premium is really interesting in that there's a couple of things that I read off their website. And the first one is you're going to get priority support. The second one is your dish is going to get priority when it's requesting internet. So what does that mean? That means if you have the dish we have now, and I'm sitting right next to a person who has a premium dish, his dish is going to get faster internet before mine, because he's paying more for his service and he's paying more for the equipment. The equipment has double the amount of antenna arrays on it, so it can get more, it can see more, and it has a further distance of range than ours does. But just the fact that his gets in line first before mine, that's why I want to get one.
Tempting, huh?
But here's the catch, right? Nothing comes for free. This dish right now, the premium dish, is being pre-sold on the website for $2,500, which is a multiple X from the $500 to $600 you're paying right now.
Right.
Secondly, the service is $500 a month.
Wow.
Which is a 5X on what you're paying right now for service. But they're saying that you're going to see speeds of up to double the amount that these dishes are seeing. You're going to get support responses quicker. And I think they're expecting a higher volume of kind of customer support with these because of that price increase. I don't know that the price increase has all that much to do with the data, and it has to do with maybe scalability and manpower of this new service.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good to know. And a couple things I want to mention. We have a new tour coming out with you guys. They have a whole bunch of, like, the original RV tour was insane. 26 awesome modifications. If you haven't caught that video, it'll be down below. But this new one, you have to watch for it. It may have already gone out or it may be coming up. So make sure you subscribe to our channel. But you guys also have started your own YouTube channel as well.
We finally did. People, you kept asking us where our channel was, and we kept coming up with excuses, and it was time to just stop coming up with excuses. So we have launched Rooted Off Grid, which is our channel where we talk about our kind of struggle to meld and weave together our love of modern technology with our desire to be off-grid and self-sufficient living. And so it's interesting because we're going to touch on things like working on working online, but while off-grid, as well as, you know, how do you get clean water and things like that. So we're going to try to talk about all these different things and really dive into the ones we know and the ones that we're still figuring out.
Well, and you don't stop. You're always trying to figure out like something, like a solution to something new and using technology. You guys have been so inspiring to people. People love your first tour. I know they're gonna love this new tour as well, and they're gonna want to subscribe. So that link will be down below as well. So would you still encourage people to get it now?
Absolutely, I would. Because if you're stationary and you can find that you have service in your area, you're not going to run into the issues that we face.
Okay.
But even if you're moving around, the spots keep opening up more and more, and that's only going to become easier and easier to find spots. But I will say, it is not a one-all solution. We still carry chips for AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon. Well, why are we paying for those? Because Starlink's not everywhere yet. So don't buy it and expect it to just be active everywhere you go. But we still encourage you to do it because the price is good. Well, we believe that $99 a month is a penance to pay for strong internet.
Exactly.
I know a lot of people think that's expensive, but for us, it's a drop in the bucket to all the billable hours that we get to put in.
Yeah. Totally. One day of not being able to work is so much more than just paying for that.
Yeah. You know, so still really a good way to do it. Just keep in mind that, you know, it is a bit of a challenge to still find open cells. The further south you come, the further north you go, it still is a little easier up there.
And now they have a new dish that came out on this smaller plan.
So this is their third iteration of their dish. We have the second generation dish, which was still round. The new square rectangular dish is a little bit smaller. And there's a couple of things that we found out when they started hitting the wild and people were testing them. They do draw a little bit less wattage than the round dishes that we have, but they also have a shorter range, and they have fewer antennas on them than ours does, and the new premium one does. So it's half the amount of antennas of their premium.
Oh.
And I would say our round dish is maybe somewhere in the middle there between those two. So it is a good dish. People are still getting good use out of it, and really good reports in harsh weather. And every dish they come out with, they keep coming out with greater features to combat harsh weather. Higher wind speed tolerance, better heating. So since we're in winter now, we've been getting a lot of reports of people working with these dishes in ridiculously awful environments where it's just feet of snow, ice, sickles literally coming off the Starlink and making contact with the roof. That has been causing an issue because then the motor can't adjust when the satellite continues to move. So if there's just snow on it and ice on it, the dish will heat up and melt those things off.
Okay.
But if the ice makes contact with the roof, it will stop it from moving, and then you'll have to get up there and, you know, clear it off.
There was one picture we saw, I think you showed me, where some guy was like, man, what's going on with my Starlink? Why is it not working? And he went up and looked, and it had heated up and melted the snow, and I can't remember if it was birds or some animals.
Cats. There were five cats huddled on top of his Starlink.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was warm, and he said, Cat 5, I guess, works with Starlink.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I mean, funny things like that are cropping up because it is warm. That's going to happen more if your Starlink is on the ground. Most of us who have it up high, you have a less of a chance of something like that happening, but it was pretty hilarious.
So will the new one withstand being left up while you're traveling?
So this is still not any sort of apparatus that will be left on the top of an RV while you move. This is still a residential, or the new one being a commercial type dish that is meant to really be in one place and not move. You know, we're all hacking and finding ways to attach them to our RVs so that we can have connectivity once we stop, but it is coming down every time. But I will say, for us, I mean, it's literally two buttons and I lift it off a pole and I put it underneath. This is not a difficult thing to get figured out. Now, if you're trying to put it up on a pole and you want to get it really high, and you have, now that was what we started with, and I realized quickly that was completely unnecessary.
I think we had that in the first video because we had just put it up when we met you before, versus now we have a, what's it called, a volcano mount?
No, we took the pole mount that we had it.
Oh, okay.
That we had, and I attached it to the roof with some galvanized pipe fittings.
And it's shorter than the AC, so it doesn't raise the height of our RV or cause any issues there.
But it reduced our deployment time to minutes instead of half an hour.
Scurry up the ladder and click it in and you're good.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Here's the status of the RV or ruggedized antenna that would be able to be up there. They are still working on designing it. However, the FCC has not fully reviewed the information that they submitted last year. And they're blaming, you know, the pandemic and different things for why it's taking them so long to get through the full packet. But until the FCC gives approval, even if this thing was ready and in production, it would not be available to us.
Okay.
So that is the bottleneck right now. And to be honest, even if it was out there, there's not enough satellites in the sky to give it the service that it needs for you to travel around. So we are still, conservatively speaking, years out, I believe, from that sort of solution. So if you're hanging in there for that because you think it's coming right around the corner, I wouldn't be surprised if we're a couple years out from that.
Okay, great.
For a while, when you were pre-ordering the dish, you could get the dish in and not actually start paying for your monthly service until you activated your dish.
Okay.
They got wise. And they terminated that, and now, even if you don't activate your dish, 14 days after delivery, after confirmed delivery, you will start being charged your service fee.
Interesting.
So you can't just buy a dish and hoard it and wait. You're going to pay your service fee whether you use it or not. And that's the other thing. If you're moving around and you don't have connectivity, you're still paying that bill. You don't get to pause and wait and not pay your $100 just because you're in for a month in a place where you can't use it. And we just call that cost of doing business, you know. But if that's not going to fit in your budget, just realize that if you're not using it, you're still paying for it.
And then again, don't wait for the RV or movable specific antenna. Yeah,
I think that's going to be a great thing. I'm not going to wait around for that.
Right. Yeah. Some people need it like you guys do. Like when you're working on the road, a remote office, whatever, and you've got to be there 9 to 5, you've got to have working internet. And
even our new property that we purchased in Colorado, where we're going to start working on our homestead, there is nothing there. There's like a little bit of AT&T. There is basically no Verizon, and there's no T-Mobile. And so without Starlink, that whole project would be a non-starter.
Okay. You know?
So it's still super viable. It opens up a lot of opportunity for everybody.
I haven't yet made the leap and keep thinking about it. This is the year, you know, maybe I will sign up for it as well, because I am so jealous of those 200 and 300 megabyte downloads. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks again, guys. And remember, their channel link is down below. So go check it out and subscribe, because again, you guys have such great information. You've been so inspirational to so many people. Comment down below if you've got Starlink and it's working for you in your RV right now. With that, we will say so long, and remember to enjoy your journey. Bye, guys.
Bye.